Galaxy of Film presents.
Let's fucking go!
Welcome back to Galaxy of Film. We've got another LFG for you this week, and it's another Mayhem Zone reunion. We've got William Kish here with us. How are you doing, Will?
Hey, what's up? I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be here again with you, Jake.
I know. You're racking up the episodes here. You're on a couple of these now. You got like six or seven under your belt. This is real impressive stuff here.
Yeah, I just recorded the Blue Beetle episode yesterday, actually.
Yeah, that's up now. So go check that out if you haven't already. Not sure when this one's dropping, but we're talking about A24's Talk to Me. So this was a little indie horror movie that came out in the midst of the Barbenheimer hype. And in this one, we've got a group of teens that just kind of fuck around with this weird hand thing. And when you touch the hand, you shake the hand and you say, talk to me. And then you see a spirit appear in front of you. It's really fucking creepy and weird. And then you say, let me in. And in 90 seconds, for those 90 seconds, if it goes any longer, they take over. But in those 90 seconds, you are possessed, essentially. And, you know, you get fucked with, you get videos taken of you for Instagram. It's real funny. But one thing leads to another. And first of all, we got Mia, main character, Mia. She's got a tough relationship with her father. She lost her mother. And she's got these two friends, Riley and I believe her name is Jade. She kind of like lives with them, right? So like I feel like she is kind of just always over there. She has a good relationship with them, but she really has a close connection with Riley, the younger kid. And one thing leads to another. They start fucking around with his hand, and Riley gets it in his head that he wants to give it a go. But here's the thing. When he does it, Mia's mother shows up. So Mia gets all shook, and Riley exceeds those 90 seconds. And unfortunately, Riley kind of gets taken hold of and just absolutely abuses himself in the most graphic, unsettling scene I think I've seen all year. Just really awful stuff. Spoilers, by the way. Should have started with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Riley gets real screwed up. And yeah, that's where the plot kind of kicks in. We've got to get Riley's soul back, because he's been taken over and he's in the hospital. He's kind of just AFK for the rest of the movie. I don't know why I said AFK. But yeah, so we've got Riley, who got real fucked up, and Mia dealing with that torment. And so she's trying to reconnect with her mother. She's getting deeper and deeper in with this hand. And yeah, so yeah, I mean, this film premiered at a film festival earlier this year to rave reviews. It's directed by the Filippo brothers. I believe that's how you pronounce them. They are YouTubers, which is real inspiring. They're comedy YouTubers too. So they don't even come from this genre really, but they're just getting their first feature out here. And it is Talk to Me. Will, what were your expectations for this film? What did you think going into it? And how did you feel coming out of it?
Well, going into it, I remember seeing the trailer a couple times in theaters. So, I mean, obviously, whenever I see that A24 logo, you know, I'm already like, I'm invested. Like, I assume there's a little bit something more to this movie than like your average horror film. So, yeah, like I was excited definitely to see it. The premise looked really cool. And yeah, I was excited for it. And then watching the actual movie, it's all fun and games. So like about, you know, how really deep into it. It really takes a long time. They let you really sit with these characters for a while and you get used to their dynamic. It feels very like lived in and like you get really close to, you know, this family and Mia. And then when shit actually hits the fan, you're waiting for that moment because they're playing with this object that is just beyond human comprehension. And it's just, I'm just waiting for that mic drop moment. And when it does happen, you know, my jaw is dropped, you know, like it is horrifying. And then, yeah, the whole rest of the movie is just so dour. Like it is just in the gutter the whole rest of the way, like emotionally, like it is just, it really does feel like you're out having fun with your friends, like in real life, and something terrible happens.
Yeah.
And it just ruins the rest of, like, even your relationships with these people. That I feel like that's kind of like the real emotion that they're drawing from. It's like, I feel like there's something like that does happen in real life, like all the time, with kids screwing around and then someone ends up getting hurt, you know, or if they're like doing drugs or something like that. And yeah, the way that it explores this supernatural world too, you only get real hints of it. It isn't really until like the end of the movie where you're like really in there. And I really love the way that that looked. It gave me kind of like Stranger Things vibes, like a little bit, maybe a little bit of Insidious in there too, the way that they also do things. And yeah, it was just, yeah, by the end of it, you're like, this is depressing and sad, and but like it really gets to you, and that's why it's an effective horror film.
For sure. I can't remember where I heard this, but I watched a review for a movie some years ago, and the reviewer said, the best movies are movies where you can imagine the characters before this movie happened and after this movie happened. And I think this movie does that very well. I felt like, you know, I mean, even with the opening scene with that other kind of
of context, like they just show you this murder that happens.
And then you later come to realize that that was like the last like person who went in too deep with the hand. And I thought that was great. And apparently there was like a whole prequel thing shot with that. So it feels very like you said, and then like even at the end where it's like the ending is fucked, by the way.
Oh yeah, the ending is incredible.
It's just unbelievable. So yeah, by the time we get to the ending with her sort of becoming a spirit and being one of these people that possesses a body for 90 seconds, you really kind of are like, oh my god, she's gonna be a party trick now. Like, that's so crazy. And I was really also impressed with like the character work with Mia here, where it's just like, you know, they didn't have to go that hard with it, but they did. Like, they really kind of took the time with her, like with that whole bit in the beginning with the kangaroo in the road, you know, it's like,
yeah,
that was great. And then like, you know, just put it out of its misery. And then to see that come into play later on with Riley, where she's in the hospital room and she just wants to put him out of his misery because he's suffering. I thought that was all really great stuff. And I mentioned before that this came out in the midst of the Barbenheimer hype. It quietly has been raking in cash, though. Like, it's been steadily dropping every week, and it's quietly become the fifth highest grossing A24 movie domestically. So that's fantastic. Wow. Yeah, it's doing so well that they announced a sequel.
Official?
Official. No, yeah, it's happening. Okay. Like, Talk to Me, it's called, which is, I hope it's not silly. I don't think it will be. It's A24. But good question I want to pose to you here. I mean, we saw Hereditary in theaters. We saw all the A24 films in theaters. And every time we did, though, we're like the only people in the audience that enjoyed it. And I've just loved seeing this shift over the last like year or so, where it's been like, you know, no longer are the A24 movies like underground, like, you know, super weird movie, like,
yeah,
I feel
for
like
more niche horror, like,
yeah,
art,
like
audiences,
the audience reaction, like disconnect with like Hereditary and like Uncut Gems was so jarring. Like, I remember like the audience score or whatever on Rotten Tomatoes was like in the negatives, whereas like you usually see the opposite, where it's like the critics hate it and the audience loves it. Very much the opposite with A24. But this, I don't know if A24 is getting more mainstream or if audiences are getting wiser, but I don't know. I just wanted to point that out. I thought that was really awesome that this movie was accepted and for the most part really well reviewed and enjoyed by everyone. And it's awesome to see that it comes from these two YouTubers, you know. It's like it makes me want to go back and watch their stuff. I meant to before recording this, but I didn't get a chance to, but it's really awesome. Especially, I mean, the two of us have come from super silly, ridiculous YouTube videos. So it's inspiring to see that maybe one day your super high concept weird idea can pay off. And it did here. I mean, I thought it was great. Will, do you have any like critiques for this film? Do you have anything that didn't work for you, maybe?
It has been like, I think, a month since I actually watched it, so I don't really,
Been a
but I
while.
don't really remember anything that really came out to me as like a real issue in the film, to be honest. Like, it was really just very solid the whole way through. I mean, I guess like I could see maybe for some people, maybe it takes a little bit too long to get going, but for me, that's not really a problem. I like being able to like really get to know the characters and the world that they're setting up and setting up all the stakes and, you know, seeing how that pays off eventually.
Yeah.
But to get at what you were saying earlier, though, with the, you know, the audience thing, I do think that this movie, it's a little bit more, I feel like something that like audiences would be more interested in seeing, I think, right now. Because there is really a shift away from, you know, more basic like IP stuff. Like, we got like the trailer for The Exorcist during that movie, and you know, I'm just like, why would anybody want to see this? Like, I have no, like, this doesn't look good, and it's the same boring possession movie you've seen a million times. But Talk to Me is not that. It is, it's a possession movie. It's got demons and your general stuff, but it has a more unique premise to it. They do something more than just, and then a random demon possesses me one day. You know, like, yes, there's a cursed object, blah, 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 but like the way people interact with it, the types of people that, I mean, in this movie, it's very specifically, it's a party trick thing. And that's like, I feel like that's usually not really done as much, you know? And so I feel like it was a unique premise, and just done very well. And that's why I think people really appreciate this one. It doesn't really throw that many like crazy swerves at you. And it's not like it is disturbing, but I feel like it's not maybe as disturbing as something as like Hereditary.
Yeah.
And it gets, you know, right at it instead of like Midsummer, which is, you know, like a 3 hour long, very slow burn. But, you know, so I can really see why this, like in my head, I'm like comparing it to other A24 movies or like It Comes at Night, where it's like you don't even really see anything in that movie. You know, like I could see why general audiences wouldn't really like that, but they would like something like this. Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. It's definitely,
I think
more
it's
of a,
on both ways. Like, because it is high quality and it's different from all this slop that we're getting nowadays.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. Totally. They don't over explain anything. I feel like you lose the audience a lot of the time. Like, I really appreciate how, like, you know, those two kind of, and another thing, they're never afraid to like be a little silly with it. You know, it's like
Like the toe sucking scene,
the making out with the dog. Like, it's funny. Yeah. And it's like, oh damn, like what the fuck? But it's like shit that like would be funny. And it like might happen, you know, it's like, yeah, let's fucking film the dude making out with the dog. And then like, he gets mad about it. Like, it's funny. And then like those two guys, they were great. The two guys that actually like have the hand, we're like, I don't know, like we fucking found it. It could be a cult of sand. It could be a fucking, we don't know. It's like they don't even bother going into it. Like,
yeah, I like that.
That's fun to me. Where it's,
I
like
that the plot wasn't about like, and then we have to find the people that made the hand, and then we have to do some crazy thing. No, it was just like, that's part of it is just not pertinent to the story. It's not important at all.
And it's like, don't overthink it. Like, I loved, like I'm sitting there at like a 10:30 Saturday night showing, and I'm just like sitting there like, all right, where's this going to go? You know, but then I'm like thinking of these ridiculous things in my head where it's like, okay, well maybe, you know, maybe something's going to happen here, and then blah, 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 blah. And then like, I'm just getting absolutely way into my own head, but it's like, it's just about Riley, dude. We got to get Riley back. That's all it's about. And I'm like, oh wow, okay. But then they masterfully tell that story. So it's like, yeah, they don't overload their plate. They know what they can handle. It's a $4.5 million budget, and they just knock it out of the park. And I thought that was awesome. I like that they're not afraid to have a little fun with it. It gets a little goofy at times. It's a fun crowd.
It also has
movie.
One of the most, to me, disturbing things, even though I just said it's a little less disturbing than Hereditary, but like there's this one scene in the movie that will always stick out in my mind, because it was the second part of the movie that had my jaw dropping was when after Riley is put in the hospital, and what's her name, Mia, goes in to, you know, figure out like, where is he, where's his soul trapped right now? And then, you know, she does the thing with the hand, and she sees this little girl that's also in the hospital, like in the room, and the little girl's like, "Oh, I'll show you where they have Riley." And
I let
then it
you
is
in.
The next, yeah, I let you in, and they flip it, and it's like 10 seconds of some of the most like horrifying things you've ever seen in your life. And it reminded me of Event Horizon. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
No, I haven't.
That one's crazy. Cause like there's a scene in that that's very similar where it's just, you're in hell now. And then like, it is the most grotesque, terrifying things you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Just like a bunch of naked, weird old men, like ripping you to shreds, just like pulling your organs out, and you're just there forever. And that's it. That is all you have waiting for you in the afterlife. And it's just the worst, most nihilistic interpretation of like death ever. And yeah, that's what it really raises the stakes, because it's like every second after that, that he is not saved, he's experiencing this. He is getting his guts ripped out forever.
I know.
If you don't get your shit together and save this poor little boy, he is going to be experiencing the worst thing ever. And that is, I love that scene.
I know.
Because it really just sets up like the stakes of what's at play
here. It's so fucked. And then to see like the movie pays that off, where it's like, no, this isn't going to have like a fun ending. Like, like someone's going to have to go like in place of this kid. Like it's already fucked. You know, it's like, and ultimately, yeah, no, like she kills her father, and like she,
yeah, that's a whole other part of this.
She dies,
yeah.
And then you know she gets hit by a car, and then she's just goes right.
One question I want to ask you, Jake, is because I feel like there's this one part of the story that is kind of left open to interpretation. Do you think that actually was her mother she was talking to, or do you think it was a ghost / demon or whatever pretending to be her?
Well, because there was, again, I'm also like coming a month off of seeing it as well.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like saying things that like she wouldn't say? Wasn't that like a line in there where it's like your mother wouldn't want, like, yeah, where she's saying like, I took my own life or whatever because of what was it? Oh, I can't remember.
I forget the exacts of it.
It was some sort of like fucked up. Like, it's like, this is not what happened at all. And it's like,
yeah. Oh yeah, there's something to do, because it was that it is confusing, because I remember there's a part of it that is like an illusion.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of getting that mixed up exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Like when she's talking to her father, that wasn't
because there. Yeah, it gets revealed that Mia's mother killed herself.
Right.
But the ghost is telling Mia, "No, I never would have done that. I never would have killed
myself.
Oh,
you're right.
I never would have killed myself." And then I think her father's like, "Yeah, she like definitely did it."
Right.
But why I say it's like left open to interpretation is because like at the end of the movie, Mia does get trapped in that dimension. She is a ghost, confirmed, stuck in that world.
Yeah.
And so that the implication there is that these souls that get stuck here, if they're there for too long, like they just lose their minds.
Right.
You know, like, and that's what has been happening, is that they just go fucking psycho over time. And I think that is kind of really terrifying, to know that like, oh yeah, your mom could die and she could be a ghost, but she will like turn on you after being stuck in this world for years. She will go insane.
Exactly.
And yeah, because it seems like over there the only thing that keeps them going is torturing souls and like devouring souls. That's what keeps them alive in that world.
Exactly. It's almost like to look at it, and I'd be curious to see if this is where they go with a sequel. I don't want Mia to be in it at all, but I would like to see maybe from the other side, potentially, where it's like maybe it's a party trick to them too. Where it's like, oh fuck, all right, I'm up. Like I got 90 seconds. Let's see if I let's see if I get past, like if I get to 91, like I'm there. That could be fun. Like I don't know what I'm gonna wind up doing with it, but. And then the visual of like, you know, I have this nightmare where I don't see myself in the mirror. And then like she gets in that hospital, and then like you see Riley like reconnecting with his family, and it's like, oh, it's all as well. And then she's just like, oh, like I did it. And then she just looks in the mirror and she's not fucking there. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that
like
was devastating.
She's there. Like she's stuck there. She's going to be screaming into nothing. She's stuck forever. And
it turns out her dad is alive. Actually, I forgot. He does survive at the end.
Oh,
and she sees him in the hospital, like recovered.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
They found him. Yeah.
But still, right. your daughter's dead.
And then she's like, Dad, wait, no, go away. And then she's in and he's walking away, like down the hallway. And
I remember now. Yeah. And then to see, like, you know, but even then for the father, it's like, mm-hmm. your daughter's dead. And the last thing you saw her do was try to fucking kill you.
Stab you in the throat. Yeah.
Like, Jesus. What a fucked up movie.
It's depressing.
It's something else.
Terrible things happen.
And it came at the right time where it's just like, you know, it was the summer. We had our big movies come out. We had the Barbie and Oppenheimer. And then we also had this delightful little horror movie that came out too. Mm-hmm. And you can just go see that.
I'm glad this summer really, really pulled through cinematically up until this point, I was kind of disappointed with a lot of what was coming out this year.
Me too.
You know, I had little gems here and there, but I feel like this summer between, you know, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Talk to Me,
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. What else came out?
Spider-Verse.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, yeah. Yeah, it ended up being a pretty good summer for the little guys, for
sure. It took
a
little bit, yeah. Definitely, yeah, it's starting with Mission Impossible after that, then it got a little bit better.
It's really encouraging, too, because, films won. You know what I mean? Movies did not win this summer. Films won. And that's fun to see. Indiana Jones, huge bomb. Flash, huge bomb. What are the other ones? Transformers did not do well. The only two movies that are big that did well were Spider-Verse and Guardians, and then those were actually good movies too. So it's that helps. You know, and then to see Oppenheimer and Barbie be these two colossal hits. It's just and these are movies that are financially responsible and aren't dog shit. So that's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's and then to see Talk to Me come out and just kind of the real tragedy of the summer was Mission Impossible, though. That did bomb, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but that one. And then for me also Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle definitely flopped. Yeah, definitely flopped, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, any closing remarks on Talk to Me and a rating?
I believed when I watched the movie, it ended up being my favorite horror movie of the year for sure. Then I ended up getting a recommendation right after that for another movie called The Outwaters, which I think it came out technically the tail end of 2022, but most of its run was during 2023.
Gotcha.
Is this indie found footage horror movie, which the only way I could describe it is it's the Blair Witch Project on meth.
Okay.
It is insane. I watched it a couple times. They showed another one of my friends, and that ended up kind of just barely nudging out being my favorite horror movie of the year.
Gotcha.
So I will have to give that a recommendation. Okay. Because that's also a very gnarly, fucked up movie.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah. That is cool. So yeah, Talk to Me. What did I give that on? Hold on. Pretty sure I gave it a. Did I not put it in on? Wow, I didn't put Talk to Me in on my.
Sure, you did.
Letterboxed. I'm not seeing it on my diary.
Yeah, July 29th, pal. I see it right here. I found it already. You gave it 5. You gave it.
Oh, there it is. I mixed it. Yeah. Okay. So I'll give it a little croissant then.
There you go.
Croissant.
I'm giving it a Bespin on its way. It's croissant. Real good. I really want to watch it again. 90, very tight runtime. Very appreciated because everything feels so overlong these days. Before I let us go, do you know who saw this movie 3 times, Will? Devin Cornell.
Really?
He
saw it 3 times?
Yeah. Did he see it with you once? Because he didn't see it with me once.
They offered. They were like, hey, Will, you want to come with us? And then
it's all right.
It was a tough week for me. I had, I watched The Meg and The Voyage to the Demeter. And then I was I know I'm going to be watching Blue Beetle this week, so I cannot. Watch a third one,
wanted to carry on our joke from Mission Impossible where we just say fuck Devin.
That too.
So yeah,
I mean that's just like a given. You don't really even have to set that one up.
I hope he's listening because he listened to the Mission Impossible one, and that's why I brought it over here. So there you go, pal. Anyway, where can the listeners find you, Will?
Well, currently on what is now called X, I am WKArt54.
Beautiful.
You guys can follow me there.
Stunning. And then you can find both of us on Mayhem Pictures. It's for the most part a dead account, but check out our older catalog. We got some good stuff on there. And yeah, you guys can find us on Twitter, Galaxy of Film, Instagram, Galaxy of Film, all that fun stuff. Check out some new short films brewing, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up in the fall. So stay tuned for that, and we hope you enjoyed this LFG. And yeah, have a great one, guys. Peace out.
Yep.